The process has been called clear vision, a name that within itself describes both a process and a hopeful end result. For the last couple of years, it's been about finding what people believe, what they think, what they dream about for the future of the place they call home, the Chippewa Valley of Wisconsin, and specifically the city of Eau Claire. What do you need and why do you need it? Convention space, a new performing arts center, new larger galleries, why, where, and when? Well, this past Tuesday, the city of Eau Claire began to become aware of just how far and just how clear the vision had gone and become. Complete with a full-color artist rendering and a dais of dignitaries representing every aspect of the journey thus far and the adventure ahead, Clear Vision really did live up to its name. A new confluence complex was being proposed where the Eau Claire and the Chippewa Rivers meet. A showplace, including student housing, underground parking, retail space, and a green riverside mall to separate that combination from a stunning new art center. Three stages of theater size, small, medium, and large, offices, and even more. A cross-section of citizens are excited. Business people see both massive potential and struggles with relocation and history. Civic leaders are ready to lead. Creatives are ready to help create. Builders look forward to building, and people like me are happy to have something very intriguing to talk about. My name is Al Ross, and I am guest hosting for Rich Kramer here on the West Side. Rich is on vacation this week. And two of the people on Tuesday's panel were Mike Rindo, a vice chancellor for facilities, also involved in communications at UW-Eau Claire, and Stuart Schaefer, president of Commonweal Development. They were kind enough to set aside an hour from their getting busier schedules to be with us. We're going to talk today. We're also going to listen. Something they've become very good at. And you have our cordial invitation to be a part of this discussion by phoning your questions and comments to 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615. Gentlemen, we appreciate you being here. I think I speak for a vast majority of citizens in thanking you for the due diligence in which you've been willing to partake so far. And I think, Mike, let's start with you and I want to go back to the beginning of when this whole consortium got together, but it goes back a lot further than that. For the people who aren't aware of what's been going on, tell us what's been going on for the last few years.
Well, I can talk about the Clear Vision process and then possibly as we go along through here, some of the other public planning processes that have taken place, all of which address downtown Eau Claire needs and including what kind of facilities public facilities people would like to see there. But let's start with the Clear Vision process.
Yeah.
That began in October of 2007, and literally hundreds of people from a cross-section of the greater Eau Claire community, and by that we mean the city of Eau Claire and those people that live within Eau Claire County, came together for a strategic visioning effort about what we would like this community to look like in 20 years. And it was really a free-form discussion, and there wasn't any starting point. It was truly a brainstorming session. And out of that were formed six work groups, which were called key performance areas. And of those six work groups, three of them independently identified the need for new or improved community events facilities in our community. And those areas were the civic engagement KPA, key performance area, the economic development one, and the quality of life. And so in the final report that was issued from that original clear vision discussion, which took place over a number of months, which came out in July of 2008, we formed a committee that comprised myself, Ben Richgruber from Visit Eau Claire, and from Eau Claire Regional Arts Council, and Linda John from Visit Eau Claire as the chairs. And we invited people from a cross-section of the community. They were from the arts, artists, art organizations. They were business people, members of government entities. And we really started drilling into, all right, we have this desire from the Clear Vision Report to really take a look at this. Let's go forward and see what the public thinks. And it employed a new concept, very different concept from what typically is done. You know, a lot of times in communities, somebody has an idea and then goes out and says, well, we have this idea and we'd like to help you, the public, we'd like to have you, the public, help us realize it. But this was a series of conversations where we talked with 50 community leaders one-on-one in very in-depth discussions. And that resulted from something called power mapping. And I'm not going to get into all of the various things that were employed, but it was really the Center for Democracy's concept and philosophy of public work. And so what you do is you identify people that have a vested interest in this you want to talk to. So we did that. We had very in-depth discussions. And then we also had conversations with citizens and visitors who were attending a lot of different events over the course of our committee's work. And that occurred over 2 years. And what we came away with was there was a very strong support for three different kinds of community events facilities: an arts facility, a major multipurpose event center, and a convention and or conference center. And the support for that ranged anywhere from a low of 76% to a high of 84%. We then took those and made those findings public, and then we had more discussions with a variety of groups. We presented to civic groups, to arts organizations through the year. And then this past spring, with the help of Wisconsin Public Radio, we conducted two community events facilities forums that were broadcast live with your help on March 29th and April 25th. And we really got then into, all right, we have these three things, a major events center, an arts center, and a convention conference center. What do people want, and where might they want it, and when might they want to go forward? And out of those community forums, it really became clear that people wanted to play to the strengths that are already existing in Eau Claire, a very, very rich cultural fabric with wonderful artists, wonderful entertainers, music. And so and people also talked about the aging facilities that we currently have. The State Theater needs a lot of work if it's going to be viable. And even if you did a lot of work on it, it still wouldn't be a great performance space. And then also some of the facilities at the university. And so we really came to the conclusion that, you know, a community arts center downtown is the direction that people wanted to go in. So that's, you know, it was a 5-year process and 3 years really looking seriously at the events portion of that.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. How much did how things happened for the past 40 years play into the process? In other words, did you look back and say, well, they didn't do this, or they failed at this, or we didn't get this? Did you take all that into account in coming up with the process and making it as thorough as it was?
Not consciously. I think it's just a different way of going about trying to solve community issues. It's a fundamentally different approach that's been tried in a few communities around the country, but probably not, as everything we were being told, with as big an issue as we're taking on here in terms of community events facilities. So I don't think it was really a compare and contrast. It was, this is a new way of doing things. Let's see how this will work.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we all have lots of new wonderful ways to communicate, so the communication was probably pretty vibrant.
Absolutely, both through Wisconsin Public Radio and Volume 1 was doing some live online blogging and taking questions and taking comments, and then we would answer those. So there was a lot of social media and interaction.
I'm trying to picture how it was, you know, the 40 years ago or the 30 years ago when people were trying to get this off the ground as well. And all they had was the telephone. You know?
Right.
And here we're able to email people, and we can get on social media. And they probably went nuts when the fax machine came out and said, wow, is this ever wonderful? We can do things quickly. Let's get Stuart Schaefer in here. And, Stuart, welcome to the program. And I think by way of an introduction, I will allow you to and ask you to define Commonweal Development for us. I mean, I remember coming to town, and we've all seen the signs because it's a vibrant, to use the word again, entity. But tell us about the history and what's going on at Commonweal Development.
Okay. Good afternoon. Yeah, Commonweal has been in business for 30 years now. It's our 30-year anniversary. Located and founded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It was basically founded in order to develop the Oakwood Hills area of Eau Claire. I joined the company about 23 years ago. We've done the work around Oakwood Hills in Eau Claire, which is on the southeast side of Eau Claire, was originally an 880-acre development. And then we've branched out and done work in other parts of Wisconsin and Minnesota, and are a relatively small development company that has specialized in commercial development through the years.
I cornered you after the event on Tuesday and asked you the question. I wasn't able to air it. You were kind enough to give me an answer, but I'd like you to repeat the question or the answer. And that is, how does what you're getting involved in here compare to a lot of the things that Commonweal has been involved in the past? You, I think, said, well, this is much bigger, but what else is it?
Well, as a single project, it's bigger than probably anything we've done, albeit we've developed hundreds of millions of dollars worth of commercial real estate over the course of the existence of the business. But it is a public-private partnership. We have been involved in things somewhat similar. We've worked with municipalities quite a bit, but we've never really been involved in this type of a public-private partnership. Nor has there probably, I don't know of another instance of this occurring in the Eau Claire area.
Mm-hmm.
Something that we've modeled after some other things that the university and private developers have done in other places, particularly Milwaukee and Madison. But we have never been involved in the development of an art center. Our partner in this development, Market & Johnson, has done a number of facilities of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a new venture for us, to be sure.
Okay, so now take me back to the day that this consortium first got together, and how did you start pulling these people together? Because, as I said, there was quite a broad dais at the event on Tuesday. Construction people, foundation people, etc. Take me back to the first time. People started getting together and saying, all right, we have a vision here. Not the clear vision, but, well, I guess I'm kind of asking where the whole idea came from for this, the convergence thing and the confluence. And when did you first get together and start talking specifics? Either one of you.
I couldn't give you an exact date by any means, but, Mike and I are truly from different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And, Mike is with the university. We're a private company. I knew about the Clear Vision process, but was not involved at all. Mm-hmm. My partners and I have a strong community sense, but we operating in a different arena than Mike and some of the people in Clear Vision. I've been very active in the Eau Claire Area Economic Development Corporation. The private development and just other volunteer things in the community, but not the sort of things that Mike was involved in. So, but Mike networks with a lot of people. He's very well connected in the community, and so I've known him for I don't know how long. I couldn't tell you exactly, but occasionally speak with him, talk with him a little bit about just friendly conversations, I guess, about this, that, and the other thing. And really one of those conversations just led to my letting Mike know that we had actually, at long last, been able to put the Reinhardt property under contract, the property at the confluence of the river, and we were planning on some housing and some office. And then Mike shared his vision, or the vision that people that he'd been involved with, mm-hmm. Regarding that property, saying that that piece of property keeps coming up over and over again in a lot of the forums that I've been involved in.
And that was the catalyst, the property becoming open?
For the relationship here, that was the availability of the property.
And the confluence thing was brought out in, Sean Hartnett was, and you brought his name up the other day. I mean, he was the beginning of that at those discussions. He came out with a pretty extensive look at what he was looking at. I mean, he had the 10 reasons, help me out on that, but it was impressive.
And to Stuart's point, when we started doing the one-on-ones in our committee work for Clear Vision, one of the things we asked was, if you were to put one of these facilities somewhere, where would you put it?
Yeah.
And that's where that confluence property kept popping. It's like it would be great to have it right in downtown Eau Claire, in where that parking lot is now, and that those kind of properties that are looking a little old. And that happened time and time again. And then at the forums that we had, Sean Hartnett, geography professor, came back with a study that he had developed in 2006 that showed 10 ways to make Eau Claire a world-class river city.
That's it.
And he had various locations mapped out for various purposes. And he identified the confluence as the best place you could possibly ever build an art center because of the unique location and the unique nature of the property. And he, as he puts it, it's the highest use of the geographic capital, I think is the way he says it, mm-hmm. that's available. So you know, there are a lot of things that kept pointing in that direction, and that's really what sparked our conversation of, hey, maybe there's something here that we might be able to get started, because our conversations happened fairly well into the Clear Vision process. So this is not something that, you know, we had already had a really good indication that this is what a big part of our conversations with the public wanted.
Okay. You are, of course, out there invited to weigh in at 800-228-5615. We're doing a lot of the talking. I know there are opinions out there, and there are probably questions as well. So 800-228-5615 is the phone number. Mike, again, give us a thumbnail of the UW-Eau Claire Master Plan, which did come into play here.
The UW-Eau Claire Master Plan is a 20-year plan for our facilities on campus, and it covers everything from academic buildings to residence halls to acquisition perhaps of the state office building on Claremont Avenue to incorporate into our campus boundary. It was developed in a public manner over the course of a couple years and presented to the UW System Board of Regents last December. And in that plan, the university talks about three specific possible collaborations with the community off of our campus. And one is a community university arts center. Another is a major multi-purpose event center. And the third is an off-campus residence hall, apartment style, that would be developed either with a not-for-profit or private developer. And the caveat for all of those is that they would need to be in close enough proximity to campus that we can get faculty, staff, and students back and forth. And the reason that those are identified in our master plan is because of our previous Chancellor Brian Levin-Stankiewicz's vision for how the university should be more integrated and less insular. And so we really are looking to extend our programs and our engagement with the community out of the campus and also to move our physical boundaries out into the community. And we know that if we work together, we can achieve something that's much better in a facility than if we just were to pursue it on our own. And so that's what's in our 20-year plan.
Mm-hmm. Is that a UW-Eau Claire master plan, or is that a master plan that's in the university system?
It's a UW-Eau Claire master plan.
I see. Okay.
For a 20-year development of our facilities on campus.
Okay. Impressive. And, of course, UW-Eau Claire does have some experience working with the city, with the Hobbs Ice Arena, yes?
Hobbs Ice Arena is the latest example where we worked with the city of Eau Claire Youth Hockey, Eau Claire Figure Skating Club, Parks and Recreation, and the high schools to redevelop Hobbs. And to add on to that, we added a sheet of ice. New locker rooms, new lobby space, Parks and Recreation moved in there, new restrooms, new concessions, did a lot of upgrades to a facility that not a lot had been done with. And it truly was a partnership between those groups that's working out very well. And previously we did something similar with Carson Park Football Stadium, where we worked together on the artificial turf project, locker rooms there, improvements to the football stadium in general. And then we also share Bollinger Fields with the city and their parks and recreation activities. And so we do have a long history of collaborating with the community. And that's one of the things that was noted by the Board of Regents in our plan, is that they recognized that UW-Eau Claire has done this, and they applauded our vision to continue to work with the community on shared facilities beyond what we already do share with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the community shares with us.
We're talking about the ambitious downtown development project announced this week that would include the development of a performing arts center, student housing, retail space as well at the confluence of the Eau Claire and Chippewa Rivers. Our guests on the west side, Mike Rindo of UW Eau Claire and Stuart Schaefer of Commonweal Development. Coming up, we'll hear some voices from downtown Eau Claire sharing their opinions of the project. And you can add your voice by calling 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615. This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. 27 minutes after 5, Rich Kramer is back next week on the West Side. We'll be talking again about the Chippewa River, but we'll be going downstream from today's discussion to the lower Chippewa. Rich and his guest will be talking about an area that has been proposed decades ago as a nuclear plant, which is now a rich habitat for waterfowl and wildlife. That's next week with Rich Kramer on the West Side. I'm Al Ross. You usually hear me on Spectrum West, and you'll hear me tomorrow on Spectrum West at 5 o'clock. But with Rich on vacation and arts being the big news of the week, I'm here with you on the West Side. We're joined by representatives of two key partners in the initiative to construct a new community arts center, commercial/retail complex, and university student housing in downtown Eau Claire. We'll be back to our guests in a bit, but after Tuesday's announcement, we decided we wanted to find out what you think about these changes, so we dispatched reporter Courtney Holbrook with her microphone and recorder, and she gathered these comments from folks enjoying the sunshine in Phoenix Park and South Barstow Street yesterday afternoon.
I think it's great that we're going to continue to revitalize downtown Eau Claire.
I just think it'd be a good opportunity. Like, we don't really have that. A lot of campuses do.
I think it would be really cool. It would give us something new to do, and it would be exciting.
I think it'd be pretty cool as long as it still fits in with the new architecture and park and everything else that's going on down here.
I guess I'm all right with them putting in more housing and the arts building and all, but I like the park the way it is, how they made it.
I think it's a great opportunity to really revitalize the arts community downtown, because downtown's a little, it's kind of slowing down right now, so I think we need something to revamp it and get more people down there.
And I actually prefer the downtown side of Eau Claire. It's like all my favorite things are on this side of town. And so I think that having that arts aspect to this side of town would be really fantastic, because it would draw more people to live over here. And having student housing over here, I think, would be really huge. The whole like art collaboration with the living environment stuff sounds like just like a really great idea.
I think that art in general is a pretty good thing, and it kind of frees the mind up and might even get you out of a bad spot. So I think it'd be wonderful for Eau Claire to have such a fine display.
I just think it's an awesome collaboration between, you know, the university and the community. I feel like we definitely need a really big theater venue, and they've just been talking about it for so long that it's really great to see that it could actually be happening. And I feel like this downtown area is obviously really great, and anything else that we can add to it to spice up life down here would be wonderful.
I think that it's something that can only benefit the community. Eau Claire has a rich tradition of not only performing arts, but also the other arts as well. And I think the more opportunities and the more updated we become, the higher quality of entertainment and cultural advancement we will receive.
Do they pipe in the birds at Phoenix Park, or was that just one that was looking for some media time? Wow, that's a pretty bird. So that is comments from people on the street. Thank you for those, to all who participated. And remember, you can comment on this particular program at 800-228-5615. 800-228-5615. We've had some calls and people have questions. And one of those, and I think either one of you can take this, just recently there was a master plan laid out for the and revealed for the city and the downtown area of Eau Claire. How does the proposal that came out Tuesday, how does it affect that plan? And are you working with everybody else?
It's consistent with that plan in terms of what some of the goals are. It says specifically that the plan does that the State Theater brings thousands of people downtown now, and it's important to be able to keep those people coming downtown for entertainment. It also, however, acknowledges that the State Theater is aging. It's 86 years old, and it was built as a vaudeville house, and it is not up to standards for modern theatrical productions or concerts. And while it doesn't provide a specific site, the Downtown Master Plan does say that given the university's master plan to work with the community to develop a shared art center, that that may be the best opportunity to be able to accomplish that, and they strongly urge that there be consideration be given to working with the university to do that downtown. The plan also says the Haymarket site, which is the site we're talking about at the Confluence, is the key to all of downtown redevelopment in the South Barstow Historic District, Historic Riverfront District. And the third thing in the master plan, downtown master plan, says that given UW-Eau Claire's master plan desire to locate housing off campus in close proximity to campus for students, that it should be considered in the South Barstow District as well. So you really have several plans coming together here to point in the same direction, the master plan, clear vision, and the South Barstow Historic Redevelopment Plan, but also City of Eau Claire Comprehensive Plan talks a lot about this, as does the Good Life, the cultural direction for Eau Claire County. So I think that you could say that given that master plan and is very consistent with what we're talking about here for development.
What's next with the fact that there are two? If they're running parallel, what happens? Are there discussions planned, or what's happening on those angles
related to
the parallels that are involved? The master plan converging, a confluence of the master plan and the clear vision plan.
Well, I think you have to take, you know, one of the things that we've tried to do through this process is these various plans really inform one another. And for example, the Clear Vision group that I was on had a lot of communication with the Good Life Cultural Survey as it was underway, because we didn't want to get across purposes, and they purposely stayed away from the community events facilities discussion, and we really stayed away, other than in very general terms, from the cultural discussion. But again, there's a lot of cross-pollination between all of these various plans, which, by the way, the Good Life Cultural Survey alone had 900 respondents from Eau Claire County. We had hundreds of discussions with Clear Vision, with our Community Events Facilities Committee, and then there were hundreds of people involved in the Clear Vision plan. So you have well over 1,000 people that have provided input into all of these various plans that are talking about how to redevelop downtown and the needs for an arts center and other facilities.
Okay. Stuart, I feel bad that we don't have you in here more often. Let's talk development. You know, earlier today I was thinking about that, and, you know, people see you have defined for us already what Commonweal development is, but take us down the road of Development 101. I mean, what is a development company? What do you do? Development for dummies. give us an idea of start to stop process. For instance, what you will be doing hopefully on this project.
Well, you know, all the projects tend to be a little different.
Okay.
Basically, as a private developer, you're looking to find a project that, you know, meets the needs of end users, whether those be tenants or whoever, and create a level of feasibility, you know, so that the project actually works. Real estate developers want things to produce revenue enough to support the undertaking. So this project is unique, like all projects, but it's fairly complex as well. But I guess just in general, you know, the first thing is to find a user or find a site, one or the other. You know, okay. Typically, you're a lot of times as a developer, you have a site and you're out looking for, you know, somebody to use the site, or in other instances, you've got a user that would like you to find a site for them, in this case, it was more a case of identifying the site, knowing that there were a lot of uses for it, kind of being excited about trying to get some development activities going in the downtown. It's the site that we're working with has been identified, as Mike has said, by so many of the different studies as the key to redeveloping the South Barstow area of downtown Eau Claire. Mm-hmm. So it, along with a couple of other sites down the river, were sites that we were keeping track of, seeing if they were going to be coming available to try to do some kind of a project. Once you've secured the site, then you need to secure uses for the site that will allow you to construct the buildings or whatever it is you're going to do with it, mm-hmm. and create the feasibility and hopefully produce a viable project that serves the needs of the users for many, many years to come. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the definition of a successful project is one that the people who use the building or the site are happy with it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We have not had a phone call yet with someone willing to get on the air because, you know, somewhere on Tuesday people were saying, I wonder where the people are that are going to oppose this. And not that I'm trying to get you to come out of the woodwork, but I have a feeling you're there. So if you do have any of those comments, 800-228-5615 is the phone number. Again, it's 800-228-5615. That is a toll-free call, as you may have identified. Dan Kluntner, founder and now VP of Commonweal, said it best on Tuesday, paraphrasing, he said, well, now comes the hard part. And that is a question that has been raised, how the project will be financed, individual structures or mixed use, an art center, total cost, et cetera, et cetera. So financing is that next on the agenda?
We've had discussions with sources of potential financing. We're, again, exploring the potential of using the model that was used at the University Square project in Madison. That model would call for the developer to actually construct the facilities, and then when the facilities are completed, to make them available, leasing them or selling them, and most likely selling the facilities to the end users, which would be a combination of the university and a not-for-profit organization that would work with the university on the art center.
Is it safe to say that this project will be kind of a hybrid when it comes to financing? Because there are many, many ways to go and ways that will probably you will go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a real conventional project by any means.
And you know what, Mike? You know, people, I think, feel good about the fact that the university is involved simply because it's a partnership and it involves, you know, people in the community and people who have been leading the community for quite a while. Talk about the university input from a financial standpoint, because you did have representatives there from the UW Foundation. The term Blue Gold Realty was brought into the discussion. So define those a little bit for us, would you please?
This really is a community art center that the university would be a partner in, not a university art center that we would invite the community to use. And I think that's an important distinction, because we are going to keep Haas Fine Art Center. And Haas Fine Art Center will continue to have Gantner Concert Hall, Riverside Theater, and the Phillips Recital Hall available for performance, and also have many of our art programs. We would be looking to augment our current facilities, one, replace Care Theater, which would be the 450-seat theater in the Community Arts Center, and then also to put in some art studios where they are really not up to snuff at the university, and especially scene and costume shop design. So that would be, you know, our goal in doing that. But the 1,200-seat theater would replace the State Theater, and then the 250-seat Black Box would be used for multiple purposes. Blue Gold Real Estate that you referred to is really the partner with Commonweal and Market and Johnson in the group that is acquiring the property and moving it forward. And they have really been the ones that have shouldered all of the expense to bring the project to this point. There's been no university money. There's been no other funding other than from these developers to get us to where we are today, including that great rendering that's been out there. They had that developed. So the foundation exists to help the university achieve its goals. And one of the things that one of the first things Blue Gold Real Estate had done was to purchase the former St. Bede's Priory, which we are now converting into other uses. We've actually entered into a lease between the state of Wisconsin and Blue Gold Real Estate for the university to use all of that property. And the first thing we'll put out there is our children's center. So that was a way that we were able to really start talking seriously, I think, with Commonweal on ways to explore the possibilities that the Haymarket site holds for possible development.
Okay. We still have plenty of time to hear your comments and questions about the new multi-million dollar downtown development project announced just 2 days ago that would change the look and use of the confluence of the Chippewa and Eau Claire Rivers in downtown Eau Claire. You can join the conversation by calling 800-228-5615. This is The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to The West Side. I'm Al Ross. Tomorrow I'm back in my normal Friday afternoon slot hosting Spectrum West. An interesting program. We will pick up this discussion as well. But tomorrow we have guitarist extraordinary Pat Donahue, who is appearing at the Wide Spot. He's an 18-year veteran of a Prairie Home Companion. We're going to talk about a course that's being offered at UW-Barron County on the history of rock and roll. Benjamin Shaning is the assistant music professor who is hosting that course. And also we'll have a preview of Sunday's Big River Radio Wave show, which is coming to the Heide Center in Chippewa Falls for two shows Sunday afternoon. This afternoon, I'm in for Rich Kramer, and this is The West Side. Our guests are Stuart Schaefer, president of Commonweal Development, and Mike Rindo, assistant chancellor for facilities and executive director of university communications at UW-Eau Claire. I did ask you once if that all fits on a business card. It does?
Yeah.
It does? Okay, cool. Well, you know, some of the concerns that have arisen, I guess we do have a call. Let's take a call from David in Eau Claire. And he's wondering if we have finalization on the project, and he has a money question as well. David, welcome.
Yes, I'm a resident of Eau Claire, and I have two questions. I have heard that this program is to start in 2014 and be ended by 2016, so it sounds to me on that information that it has been finalized. Now, I'd like to know whether that's right or not. And my second question is, I haven't heard anything definitive, even in your most recent discussion, about where the monies are coming from, $90 to $100 million. What does the state of Wisconsin have to say? What do the regents of Wisconsin have to say? What's the support from the university? And hard figures, what is going to happen to student fees, et cetera? I still haven't heard where this final money is coming from. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, David.
I can start with the university's portion of the funding. There's a capital planning process that occurs, and we submit our request for capital planning in advance of biennial budget preparation. And so we'll be doing that with the Board of Regents of the University of Wisconsin System in August. And so we would be seeking general purpose revenue, which is bonding that's paid for through the state capital planning process for the university's portion of the Arts Center. And we right now are in the neighborhood of about 55% of that cost when you look at what our primary use would be. So somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 to $30 million that we would be seeking for the university's contribution to the Arts Center. The student housing is paid for just like any residence hall on campus, or if you're thinking about a current building project on campus, the Davies Center, which is program revenue, and that's separate from tax revenue. So program revenue for the Davies Center is being paid by students through their segregated fees. This would be different. It would be paid for by the students who are renting the rooms. So just like they do in residence halls, they would be paying for the project through their rent. And what we do with that is we use program revenue bonding, and that would be in the neighborhood of $25 million for the apartment-style student housing. So we would request that from the Board of Regents as well. And that would mean that our contribution from the university to the overall project would be in the neighborhood of $50 to $55 million.
Okay. Is it safe to say – did you have a comment, Stuart, or not?
Well, I guess the first question is, no, it's not finalized. There are things that have to be done. And to this point, there's been no public money spent on the project. And there won't be any public money spent on the project until the public process is in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for the university and other public entities to take action on. We're going to be bringing several proposals forward to different entities. They can act on the process, but to date, there's been no public money spent on the project whatsoever.
Okay. The timeline has the mixed-use facility being built first and then the Art Center next. Is it safe to say that nothing will happen until all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed on the entire complex? Or is it too early to tell?
Well, if for this project to occur on this site, everything has to be in place.
Okay.
The projects, the two buildings may in fact start at about the same time. The site work, the removal of the existing buildings and the site work would begin at the same time. The Art Center, though, is a considerably more complicated building and would take longer to construct. That's why the completion dates, the estimated completion dates, are not in sync.
Okay.
The other funding sources, Stuart, the mixed-use development, the retail and commercial space, that would be private money from developer, right?
That's correct.
And then we'd be talking about philanthropy to the tune of $10 to $12 million that would be sought. We're also looking at new market tax credits that could be available, naming rights fees, perhaps some user fees. So we're really looking at a lot of other funding sources besides what the university would bring to the project and what the private developer would bring.
I think Rindo Residence sounds pretty nice. Val's on the phone from Eau Claire, and Val's got a positive phone call, I believe. Val, welcome.
Hello?
Welcome to the West Side. Hi there. You're on. Hello, Val.
Hello.
Yes, you're on. Guess she can't hear me. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, now we're there. Okay.
Great.
Thanks for calling, Val. What do you have to talk about?
Well, I have a couple of things. First, in praise of the project and then a question. But I have praises for the project from a unique perspective. I'm the former performing arts manager from the university with the Artist Series and Forum Series, and a former executive director for the State Regional Arts Center. And I used to live just a block from the Haymarket area and used to walk to the university. So I am just so excited about the project. It really is going to help blend all these different resources and provide a home and a place for these performances to take place. And I think to help revitalize not only the downtown area, but I think the Eau Claire and the community in general. My question is, what would the footprint of the project be? Would it extend up to Barstow or... I mean, will it be closing off any of the roads in that area, any of the streets?
We're not talking about closing off any of the streets. And the current footprint of the project extends from Gibson Street up and around to Barstow Street. There's two buildings proposed. Between the two buildings would be a public space, about a 1.4-acre public space that would replace the Haymarket parking lot with a public plaza that would have connections to bike paths and a pedestrian bridge over to the Phoenix Park area.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the call, Val. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
A question has been raised about parking. Let me give the phone number first, 800-228-5615. It's 800-228-5615. I know that underground parking is planned for the mixed-use facility. I think people are asking about parking for an arts center because downtown facilities notoriously always, I shouldn't say always, notoriously have parking problems. Is that something that you're looking at?
Well, it is. The 200 parking stalls that are planned for the mixed-use facility would be public parking. That's one of the one of the things, and we haven't gotten into a lot of detail, but just how nice it is to have the student housing in the project versus private housing, which again is growing up in the neighborhood and being developed all around this project. But this particular project would not have any parking needs for the residents on site. The university would deal with the parking needs for the students at a different site. So the 200 parking stall garage within the facility would be available to the public. That combined with other parking facilities in downtown Eau Claire. Now, the State Theater, of course, is 1,100 seats, and even without the 200 additional spaces for public parking, the State Theater seems to park adequately. So, you know, we think that between the existing parking structure over on Farwell Street, which is about a block and a half away, and the new parking facility and the footbridge giving access to the Phoenix Park area, where there is the RCU parking lot and where additional parking may be created, would adequately serve the facility.
Question has been tempered. The largest theater in the new development is 1,200 seats. Someone wonders, don't we still need something bigger? I wish Ben Richgruber were here for that answer, but there are three theaters, 1,200, 450, 250. I think that's in keeping with a lot of, I know the FIP Center in Hudson has some smaller theaters, but I think if I were to sit in for Ben and his comment, I think the thing that keeps the state or outdates it the most is the stage area, where we cannot accommodate shows. I mean, 1,200 people is a good crowd for anyone. So it's the stage area and the loading and unloading and things that's the problem.
Well, and we really haven't, you know, finalized that. That's in the preliminary program. But you know, getting back to the Clear Vision thinking is that, you know, people say, well, we need something bigger that can handle major events in Eau Claire. And this isn't saying that we're never going to do that. But you have to take these things one at a time. One of the things that came out in that discussion was, okay, we don't think we can build one facility that's going to meet all of these needs. Uh-huh. An art center is different from a major event center, is different from a conference and convention center. Two of them might work better with each other than another. But the idea here is let's take this one at a time. There's need here. There's a really good site, and we can do this first, and then we can look down the future and say, all right, what do we want to do for a major event center? And that's why the university says we plan to replace Zorn Arena in the future. We do not plan to do that on our campus. We do not show anywhere on our campus that we would create a new major event center. We say that we are going to work with the community to do that on a site that's in close proximity to the university. We do show some possibilities for a shared university community arts center on campus land, but we say in the master plan that if there's a better site that works for the campus and the community, and especially the community, that we would very seriously entertain that. And that's why this is such a good site. It's less than a mile from the current Haas Fine Arts Center.
Yeah. Lots more to talk about. Stuart, one last question for you. Your answer has to be brief. We've seen that wonderful artist rendering. Is that what we're going to see if we do see something eventually, or is that all being developed as well?
Well, that is a conceptual artist rendering, and should be similar to that, but won't be an exact. That's not an exact drawing, but we hope to model the plans after that.
So the architects aren't at work yet?
Well, the architects did that drawing.
Oh, okay.
As a concept.
But I mean technical stuff.
Yeah, we have to bring in the architects that are actually going to design the building. That'll be possibly the same group or a different group, but that's yet to be done.
Okay. Thank you so much. Next week on the West Side, Rich Kramer and his guests will focus on the Lower Chippewa River and the successful efforts to reclaim a neglected area for nature. That's next Thursday at 5 with Rich Kramer on the West Side. You can hear archived episodes of the West Side anytime you want. Just go to WPR.org, scroll down the list of programs until you get to the West Side. Click there and find the link to the archives. This afternoon's show should be available by Monday. We have several special political programs coming up in the next 2 weeks in preparation for the June 5th recalls. Wednesday night, we'll do a live broadcast of a forum for the 29th District Senate recall election. Glenn Mulberg hosts that event from Wausau. Then 2 weeks from
This hour on the West Side, the two candidates in the 23rd Senate recall will make their only remaining scheduled joint appearance as they join Rich Kramer on the West Side just days before that election. You'll hear all of that on this Ideas Network station. I'm Al Ross. Thanks to Mike Rindo and to Stuart Schaefer for coming in to talk about the exciting plans for downtown Eau Claire. We will continue some of that tomorrow on Spectrum West at 5. Mort Cypress was on-air producer for tonight's program. Dean Kallenbach engineered. And Grace Fair and Ellen Zamarripa helped us with marketing. Special thanks to Courtney Holbrook, who produced our Person in the Street collage. I'm Al Ross. Rich Kramer returns next Thursday. Thanks.